This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by MyBookie.com. Also, Saturday, September 14th, Baltimore. I think there's a couple seats left to the show. I'm doing it the famous. Head over to RyanSicko.com. Get the tickets if you want to come out. And also, there's a new email list I have going there. So make sure you sign up for all the upcoming info. And let's get into the do.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it up at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. My website is RyanSickler.com. Baltimore, September 14th. I'm going to be back at the famous. Get your tickets now if it's not already sold out, because I don't know if I can do two shows this time. If you want to see me locally, go to my website, RyanSickler.com. All the dates are there. And I just want to say again, every week, thank you. Thank you to every one of you out there. The messages, the replies, all of it. I see it. I feel it. I appreciate your support. The biggest way to help the podcast, I say all the time, is to engage in the sponsors. Make sure you're subscribed. Download it. Review it. Make sure you're subscribed to the Your Mom's House YouTube channel. That's where you get video every Tuesday. All right. The website here for the show is thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's where you can get all the merch, the social media links. If you want to know anything about The Honeydew, go to the website. That's where you can find all the information, all right? And if you are new to the show, what we do here is we highlight the lowlights, all right? We look for a little bit of that light in the darkness. We like to have a good time with it. And as I always say, these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today, my guest is some first time on Honeydew, somebody I've been wanting to have for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brian Redband.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome to the Honeydew,
Brian Redband. What's up, thick blood?
That's how I know you listen. Dude, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
I've been trying to make this happen.
Thank you.
Before we get into your story, will you please plug, promote everything and anything you like? That's you, right?
Sure.
There.
DeathSquad.tv. There you have every single podcast I've ever done. I'm about to have a bunch of new podcasts because I got a new studio in Burbank that's almost done. Do Kill Tony every Monday at the Comedy Store. We're going to be in Philly and Pittsburgh next week. I think Pittsburgh sold out, but Philadelphia. And August 17th, I'll be headlining the American Comedy Company. And I'm going to bring George Perez and Aiko Tanaka with me. So go to DeathSquad.tv, everything there, Red Band on all the other social medias.
Awesome, dude. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know where you were originally from. You know, you've been sort of, for me, you were this entity called Red Band. We now have Blue Band over here.
Yeah.
That's a spawn.
Yeah,
that's your
I know.
Spawn, bro.
I know. At first I thought he was just an eagle. I didn't know he was a real person for the longest time. I thought they just had an eagle they called Blue Band. I didn't know.
And you were in the game. You were early on in the game. So you were somebody I always watched from afar, and I've got to know a little bit. We've done a few shows together, and I really enjoy your company and working with you and stuff. But I do want to know, because you got a dark side to you.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to get a little bit deeper into that. Sure. So why don't you just start at the beginning, brother?
So I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio. I lived there 30 years before I even left.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, which is weird because and depressing because I always wanted to go to California. And then there was a point in my life where I'm like, well, I'm just going to be a manager at Gateway Computers for the rest of my life. I remember like thinking I'm done. You know, I'm going to live here. I just need to get married, have a kid, call it out. And then when I finally moved here.
So it was the move. You left Ohio, went right to California.
Yeah. Okay. Joe Rogan hired me.
And while you were in Ohio?
Yeah.
No shit.
Moved me out.
Okay.
He was a fan of my work, and he wanted me to just work for him. I was his first employee, and I still am his employee, but he moved me out. And then when I got here, I got really depressed because I was like, I could have lived here my whole life. Like, why did I wait so long? Right. Like, and I'm like, I'm already 30. I would love to have lived out here when I was in my 20s. I'd probably be dead, but it would have been amazing.
Did you start stand up at all, or like mess around at all in Ohio?
Yeah. I started in Ohio and probably did it maybe like 6 or 7 times. My home club was the Funny Bone in Columbus. And then I stopped before I moved out to the day Bob Hope died. I had this, I've said this before a million times, but I did a Bob Hope joke the day he died, and the audience was a bunch of old people, and they booed and hissed at me. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm never doing this again.
So a Bob Hope joke to a bunch of Bob Hopes.
Well, it was like their mics out there. They never had anybody to go to the open mic. So there's a retirement home across the street. So they would come here and give them free tickets to a comedy show.
Oh, my God.
And so when I came out, I was like, oh, my God, there's the whole audience is old people. I shouldn't do this joke. And I decided to do it anyway. And, man, they really did not like the
joke.
They
booed you. Yeah, they're all next to death and everything. Yeah. Like, Bob was younger than me.
And the joke had to do, because we were like in, you know, war. It was like after 9/11 and stuff like that. So like, so it had to do with, the joke was, hey, did you guys hear Bob Hope died? And everyone was like, oh. And I was like, do you think they flew out his body to Iraq to entertain all the dead troops? And everyone was like,
that's out of the gate. Oh, God.
Quick comedy.
retired.
Yeah, and then it literally.
I retired after the retirement community set. Yeah.
Then when I moved to L.A., like maybe a year and a half or so after living out, Rogan kept on like, you need to go back to doing comedy. And then one day, it's like a sold-out show in Atlanta at the Punchline or wherever it was. He goes, you're going up, you're going to open up the show. And I'm like, what? And he goes, do you have any of your jokes? And I'm like, no, this is before cell phones and stuff. And so I just went out and did it like 10 minutes and I got back into it. Then he started just throwing me in front of like sold out theaters and stuff. I pretty much did that spot, you know, where he just, I was his opener. And then I started doing it. It was like Joey Diaz would open the show. Then I would be the middle and I had to follow Joey Diaz.
Oh my God.
And so many, I know so many, so many comics hated it. I loved it because riding that wave, like, was, I thought, the easiest, like, you were just set up for success, you know, after that. But it was fun. I learned quick how to become a stand-up. It was like a
especially
cheat code.
From those two guys.
Yeah.
So go back to, take us back to Columbus. So you start in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I started in Columbus. I had a million jobs. I worked at movie theaters most of my life. I was like managers of movie theaters.
Were your parents, how long were they together?
Third grade. My parents, back then when they got divorced, it was like no one even knew what a divorce was. I hadn't ever even heard the word before. And then
you're talking about that before the show, because I was one of those kids. Yeah, what your parents sat us down like, this is happening. And then I want to be like, there was like maybe one or two other girls at school that I was like, your parents, what is that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I think I was one of the first, if not the only person that got divorced. And then when they go, well, you're gonna live with your mom in an apartment, and my dad's going to live in this huge house, which made no sense to me. Yeah, the same house.
Okay.
So it made no sense. Looking back, it really made no sense. Like, why does dad get, like, the huge house, and we're in this little apartment, I'm sharing a room with my sister. Like, I had to, like, my bedroom growing up was, like, our dresser in between our two beds. Like, and I had to, you know, grow up with my sister.
And you said to me, too, when we were talking before, like, you didn't know what an apartment was either.
I was the
same way.
Yeah,
we went from a house where you thought this, you had this perfect family that was obviously falling apart under the roof, literally.
Yeah.
And then while my dad moves away, because the house gets sold, he's got to go find a place to live. We go to an apartment with my mom, and I had no idea what a fucking apartment was. And our apartment, even looking back on this fucking thing, was all it was a hallway with three rooms off of it.
Yeah.
And it had a kitchen and a tiny ass little living room. But the whole thing wasn't longer than, I mean, this studio is fucking bigger than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It would, like, the apartments we stayed in, what's weird is because we had to switch school districts. And it was kind of cool because the school district we went to, both of them were great, but it's called Worthington. And very high end, very smart, very, everyone that went there, their parents are CEOs, you know, insurance companies and stuff. But they had one street. I think they legally had to do this for low income or something like that. So they had one street and they built their first apartments in Ohio, I think. I'd never seen apartments before. Like, it was a new thing back in the 80s. And we stayed there. And it was because it was such a young age and because I was switching school districts, my parents and the teachers actually told my parents that I should go back a grade because they thought I was going to, you know, like, we don't know how he's going to, you know, react to this. He's, you know. And so it was interesting because I grew up always being the older person in my grade, which I'm glad now looking back that I did that. But
so you repeated third?
Yeah, third grade.
Do you remember doing that? Like, do you remember going, I know these answers? Do
yeah.
you remember feeling
yeah.
like confident and like, I got that shit?
Absolutely. But I was such a, I was not into school ever my whole life. So even though I had already knew all that, I still was like, I don't give a shit about any of this. Like, like I'm never going to do anything with math or whatever. So yeah, I slept mostly through school. Like
you
I
did.
Always had a hat. I got really good at like putting my head like this, like, and then like my left hand would just be like a dead zombie hand that once in a while would move like I'm writing something. And my whole, like every grade I slept through.
And what was your relationship with your mom like living there?
Mom was great. Close? Yeah, mom was good. Everything was cool with my mom. It was weird growing up with two women though. Like I think that's that really sculpted me. Like I don't like sports.
What do you,
you
mean?
Know, like I never got into sports because
you
my,
mean your sister and your
yeah,
mom?
Yeah, my sister, my mom.
She didn't play either?
No. Like okay. So like I think because of that, that's why I like in high school I was not friends with many guys. I was friends with all the women though. Like, and my whole life I've always kind of geared towards hanging out with women more than men for some reason. And I think it's because my mom and my sister, because I'm more comfortable.
Right.
Like, women don't freak me out or I'm not shy or nervous around them. And so I think that really made me who I am today. Like,
and would you see your dad during that time?
Yeah. Every weekend, every weekend, we'd go to dad's and then eventually
your old house.
Yeah. Her old house.
You would go to your old room and hang with
yeah,
your dad.
Yeah. Still have my own same room there that my dad probably used for prostitutes or something like that. Now looking back, like I thought salty sheets were like a thing.
Salty sheets.
No, but then I ended up moving in with my dad in high school. And
you
so
did. Why?
I would, because I was like, well, I can't live with my sister. I'm in high school. I'm going to end
oh,
up fucking
you're still
my sister.
In the one bedroom. Yeah, got it. Got it.
You know, so I ended up going back to my dad's house. And that was cool because I had my own room. My dad didn't care what time I came home at night. And I would come home at like 3 a.m. and like being a senior. I was allowed to have my girlfriend spend the night, you know, in high school.
I'm technically a freshman in college, Dad.
Yeah.
I got held back in third
dad,
grade.
I'm 35, man.
Did your dad ever remarry or your mom ever mm-hmm. remarry?
Yeah, both. But my dad remarried younger or first, and I've had a great stepmom most of my life.
So they stayed together.
Yeah, and then my mom ended up, my mom used to date a lot, which was interesting.
Yeah,
growing up
like?
It was very interesting because
dudes are coming over to this lady's one bedroom apartment with two kids.
Yeah,
in that room.
It was
yeah.
gross. Look now, but she used to work for Wendy's growing up, so okay. She was like an executive secretary for like Dave Thomas or something like that.
For real?
Yeah,
it's out of Ohio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
right
okay.
down yeah, it's in Dublin. And so growing up was cool because like we would always like I would always visit my mom at work and she would take me to the test kitchen where it's just like, hey, try all these new hamburgers and these things called chicken tenders. And
really?
You know, like, you're like, what the heck is chicken tenders?
You got all that shit early.
And so we had stacks of free meals. So anytime we go to Wendy's, it was like anything we wanted for free. Every Christmas, they would have a Christmas party at the Wendy's headquarters. And Dave Thomas, the owner or creator of Wendy's, would dress up as Santa Claus. So I have a lot of pictures of me sitting on Dave Thomas's lap.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And I knew Wendy, the real Wendy, growing up, which was cool. And then that.
So it is his daughter for real?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She
is.
Was not that she's in a few of the commercials now. She's a bigger, older lady, but they had like a fake Wendy for a while, which is this a hot young chick that was named Wendy in the commercials. That's not her, but it was very interesting because I always thought that I was like, whoa, Wendy's my friend. Oh, I never put the two together. Like,
right.
Oh, that's Wendy from Wendy's, you know? It was very
that's
cool.
That's the Wendy.
That's the Wendy.
Yeah.
Jack Hanna, who's pretty known, he's the guy in charge of our zoo. And so we used to always go to zoo camp every year, which was...
You had Jack Hanna as the charge of the zoo?
Yeah, damn, he still is. And it's so like...
Is he really?
Yeah, so like, and we used to do this thing, zoo camp, where for like a week, you would just live at the zoo and Jack Hanna would...
What?
Yeah, you'd
where?
Sleep... you'd sleep at the zoo, like, and... And it was the craziest thing.
I was going to say, would you hear lions and shit
yes.
roaring?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, get me the
it's
fuck out of here.
Scary as fuck. And then Jack Hanna would come out at night and be like, hey, guys, I brought some pizzas. And you're like Jack Hanna was just like somebody, another person I just knew. I didn't know that everybody, he was on David Letterman, like everybody
right,
knows
yeah,
him.
All the time, yeah.
And it was weird thinking like, hey, yeah, we spent the night at the zoo. That seemed very
weird. And where would you sleep?
They would like put us in different like, where was it? It was like a, like maybe their office building or something like that. It was just a big room. We'd all have like sleeping bags and stuff. I think a few times they had to sleep in like one of the big buildings with all the like giraffes and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it was, I just remember it was very hard to go to bed when you, there was noises like roars and
elephants and shit. Yeah. He's got crazy animals. He doesn't have your basic shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He has like albino penguins and shit.
He's got crazy shit.
But, it was cool growing up in Columbus because we were a test market city. So we would have, like, we had Chipotle before Chipotle was a thing, you know, and they were like, oh, let's see if this works, you know. It's owned by, I think Chipotle is owned by McDonald's.
Yeah, I thought so.
And we had, like, McPizzas before anyone. Everyone was like, what's McPizza? But they would, like, try all these new things. There was one of my favorites. I don't even know if it got big enough.
So if you all liked it, the rest of the world got to have it?
Yeah. Exactly. And 100%. Because, like, I guess Columbus is considered the most average, like, economy, like, you know, everything. And there was one called, I don't know if it got out of Ohio, but it was called Sister's Chicken and Biscuits. It was Wendy's version of KFC. And instead of having an old man, it was just three old women. And it was awesome, but it didn't last. Like, it didn't go out. And then there was a thing called Donato's Pizza, which is one of the best pizza places, I think, in the Midwest. And then McDonald's bought them, and they were going to make it, like, nationwide pizza place. Then the stock market crashed, or 9/11, and then they sold it back. And I was so pissed off.
Sold it back?
Yes. I was pissed off because, especially now I live here in California, that I just want to eat that pizza, and now I can't. Whatever. Good story.
I'm old like you. I'm old enough. And I was just thinking the other, I was just yelling, just joking around with my stepson. I was like, I've been here before chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
And then I was like, when the fuck were chicken nuggets invented? At least McDonald's.
It was the 80s.
It was 83 for McDonald's, it said. It was 83. But I don't know if somebody did that before McDonald's.
Right. Well, I remember.
Probably had it in 82.
Wendy's, I remember that was one of the test kitchen things. And it was like, I think it was chicken tenders. Maybe it was chicken, their version of chicken nuggets. And I remember, what are these pieces of chicken? It's so delicious. But it was weird being that age or growing up in the 80s and stuff like that, because we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers, you know.
Nothing.
And like, so we would do like Goonie shit. Like, there was an old penitentiary that was in downtown Columbus, and it closed. And it had been deserted for maybe 10 years. And it's falling apart. Me and my friends would ride our bike all the way downtown, which is like the dumbest thing ever. I think it took 2 hours or something like that to get
one way.
Yeah,
God.
Way. I mean, because we didn't have like Lyfts or Ubers.
I think we're in Pennsylvania.
So we would ride, and it was we'd do it like at 3 a.m. Like we'd be 16, and we found a little hole in the fence because the place was all fenced up. You're not supposed to go. Humongous penitentiary from like the 1800s, and we found a hole. Or we cut a hole. It would sneak in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, no cell phones. And there would be homeless people living in there and stuff like that. And I look back and I'm like, how dumb is that? One of those homeless people could have just, fleshlight our faces. And we know we had no way to like call for help.
Nobody would hear you.
It's just miles of penitentiary. But it was so cool because we would have our little flashlights and would go through like the halls of the penitentiary. There would be parts where the floor is just falling through.
Are you scared to death while you're doing it?
Oh, it was like a horror movie. Dude. Every step, we'd hear noise, and we'd be like, ah! And the dumbest thing is we would go inside like the prison cells and would shut it. And I'm thinking, like, why would we do that?
Right. If that thing gates over.
Yeah, like we all get locked in there. I can't believe it. But I think if I remember, they drilled it so no one can do that. Like all the locks. We saw where the electric chair was and we sat in it. Yeah.
Oh my, you sat in it? I don't care if it's hooked up or not. I feel like some residual electricity.
I know.
All
or just piss stains and shit.
Yeah,
like,
y'all didn't think of that. You're right.
But it was, you know.
So we used to do that in abandoned hospitals. We didn't have abandoned penitentiary, but I would have done that.
Hospitals have been crazy,
Hospitals too. Creepy because everybody goes in and, like, the moment you walk in, there's, like, a long-ass hallway with a pentagram and a fucking wheelchair. We're like, let's go. I'm like, we're going. We would get the toe tags were still in the room.
Oh,
dude.
That's my favorite thing in the world to do is go through abandoned
buildings.
Stuff. And, like, videos, there's so many videos on YouTube of people doing that. And, man, that's just, like, cracked me, that and police chases. I could just watch that all day. So that's cool that I didn't know anyone else like explored and did abandoned stuff.
Hospitals.
Okay. Were you from New Orleans or
Maryland?
Something?
Oh, yeah, cool. Baltimore originally. Yeah. And we had some really, like you know, Ohio, we still got those older buildings and right. shit, the brick. And
yeah.
it just, as soon as it's dark and the moon hits it, it just looks fucking creepy as shit.
You yeah. know?
And automatically scary in the dark. But I love that you would go through an old prison. Yeah. I would have done that.
And we also like dumb shit too. Like we would like go through, like sneak in people's houses and stuff what? Like that. Like, but this was like when we're in like fifth grade or sixth grade. This was like, even if we got caught, they'd be like, oh, that's adorable. Get out of my house, you know?
Right. Yeah. then.
Yeah. Or yeah, we would be raped again. But it, like, I remember we heard that somebody had kittens, like a house one street over from when we grew up. And so we like snuck in their garage door and went through their house and we saw them watching TV. And then one of the kittens came up and we took it. And we took it outside. And we're like, let's just keep this kitten. And then we ended up like, no, we got to put it back. So we just put it in the garage and ran away. We don't even know if the kitten made it back inside. Like,
So growing up in, all right, so let's go back to high school. Yeah. You're with your dad. You don't play sports. You don't play anything.
I played like soccer when my parents were still together, like elementary school.
But
soccer,
do you get bullied? I was bullied. All through school? Or?
Mostly because I was an artist. Like, I only painted and, like, drew things and played video games. So I hung out. My friends was Akira. His name was Akira. He was from Japan. And his parents were, like, all worked for Honda or something. And I was his only friend. And, like, I didn't have many friends. Only had, like, two or three friends. And so, like, I would hang out with Akira. And what's cool is hanging out with Akira is that he would have shit before we had. So like when Nintendo, you know, Super Mario's NES came out, he had that 2 years prior, or like a year prior. Yeah, so we're playing this, and I'm already addicted. Like
no one else getting food and games before everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Nintendo came out, I was like already over. Like I already beat this like a million times, you know, type shit. So it was cool hanging out with him. But we were all just nerds growing up, like. Our biggest fun thing to do is taking a bag of Jolly Ranchers and a slingshot and flick air, hitting people with that, like, out of our window, like, when they walk by.
Dude, we would have been friends, dude, because we used to do, we used to take the slingshot where one person would have put whatever, we used to do water balloons.
Yeah.
And then two people would hold it.
Hold it and do the.
And then you would let that motherfucker fly. And that.
Do you ever do that at the Comedy Store? They used to do that every weekend.
Yeah. No, I never did it there, but we would do it back home. But yeah. But I knew just from a water balloon, like it could break a window. So Jolly Rancher is like a rock.
Oh, I know. Looking back, it's really stupid.
One that the time when we finally we went, there was this old dude that my mom had cheated on my dad with, and we snuck down to his place one night, and he lived on this hill, so we got up on the hill, and we just let that, I just let it fly toward the house.
Oh, yeah.
And then I heard the glass, and I was like, oh, shit! And we all got in the car, took off. Oh, like, fuck. Oh, fuck. Yeah. But we kept doing it, and one night, we're just such teenage fucking idiots, we decide we're way across the street, and we're going to bomb 7-Eleven. So whenever anyone opens the door to go in or come out, we're trying to get it them and in that store, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember I let this balloon go, and it's all in slow motion, and all of a sudden this old lady comes walking. I'm like, God, oh, no, please. Oh, my God. It's gonna crush her. It's the most accurate one I've right. ever fucking let go.
Right.
And I mean at the last second, old school metal antenna on a car sticking up shit. And it split it. Oh, so she got sprayed with water, but it would have
I wonder what she thought. She probably had no idea what it was too. She's like, Lord Jesus.
Well, we just got the fuck out of there because that's when everybody started looking over, you know, like what's going on.
We would do gross things too. It's so funny with like kids don't do any of this shit anymore, probably. Like we'd find like a dead bird. You remember those envelopes that you used to put your film in, and then
You know what? I forgot about those till you just fucking said
that. Put dead birds in there, put in people's mailboxes. They're like, oh, I got
my pictures back.
That's the only
vacation picture here.
And I remember this one time we put a bird in, and we did it to our friend's mom, Akira's mom, and we wanted Akira to open it up. But and we even sat on it, the bird, like we'd put it in there. And we would like hide in the bushes across the street and wait for Akira to like get the mail. And we just remember seeing his poor mom come out and just open it up and go, what's this? And open and go, oh! And I just remember it was like, it haunts me to this day. There's two things that haunt me.
You can still see it.
Yeah, that poor lady opening that up. And, you know, I threw a rock at a a cardinal once. Like, a cardinal was injured, and I was like, ew, gross. And I threw a rock at it, and I just remember thinking, like, how horrible that was. Like, I probably killed a bird, and I just felt like, I still think about it all the time. Like,
well, let me tell you something. First of all, it's good that you think about it, and it bothers you. And two, that crippled cardinal got eaten by a fox or something.
Yeah,
you don't got to worry about that thing. That's called prey.
Yeah, I probably put it out of its misery.
So who, what kind of kids will pick on you? Were they the jocks? Were they
neighborhood kids? Yeah, it was mostly the jocks or like the, it was totally, it's so funny. It's totally like, you know, just like the Simpsons or South Park. It's always like the poor, like his parents are divorced, you know, the bullies and stuff. And it, I looking back at it now, it's weird because like I'm Facebook friends with a lot of my bullies now.
Really?
And, yeah. Cause it, like, we had a very small school and it's like, it's so awesome. Like looking back and seeing what they're doing now, they're all like divorced. One's a cop. And I just think that's interesting, you know?
Right.
I got revenge on my biggest bully though, and I did it by mistake. and it was so interesting to me because it's one of those things like that's just how the world works, you know. So I used to troll a lot, like, and I had this thing. And this is maybe before MySpace or during MySpace. I think it was during MySpace years. I used to have, I take, you know, when Listerine strips came out, like those little blue Listerine strips, I used to Photoshop like blue lips on a bunch of animals and be like, I gave 30 Listerine strips to a kitten, right. You know, and then have like, and I would call it, I had a website called bluetorture.com, and I made up like fake, like where people would send me photos like, oh, you know, I gave 20 Listerine strips to my dog, and I've just put a little blue on their lip. Like, it doesn't even make your lips blue, so, you know,
at all, that, yeah, that,
but
right.
It still worked, like to the point where PETA, like on their message boards, had many threads about my website.
Really?
And like I was like, you know, getting a lot of people like talking, like trying to get my website down and stuff. So then I decided to have this, like, I found a picture on the internet of a box of puppies. And I'm like, we're having our first Blue Torture puppy party, and we're going to have pizza. I have a box of puppies and over 200 Listerine strips that we can give to the dogs. And like, looking back, it's like, who would do this?
Not only that, no dog's going to eat those. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and who would really fucking believe that?
Right. And so I made like a fake flyer, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to put my bully's address on there. So if all those PETA people will go to his house and so when I put that up, on the message board, they're like, we're having a meeting. We're all going
They're storming Area 51, bro.
Yeah. They're going to storm this guy's house.
For real.
For real.
This poor son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know, this poor guy. And it makes it a million times worse because what I didn't know for real is the guy, my bully, sold drugs. And he got arrested or something happened where he wasn't at his house, and he left his dog there for a week inside of his house with no food and water or something like that. And that same day, like, it was on the news where the neighbors called the police, and like, this man, we're here outside the home of so-and-so. He left his dog here, and the conditions, and they were showing inside of his house. That was the same day where all the protesters came to that. I swear to God.
So that's on news too?
They didn't show the part, but I remember going on the message board going, we got there were the police there. They already caught him. I think they thought maybe they busted them already,
right,
or something.
Like they got, yeah.
But that dude, like, that he does, I don't think he knows. Like, he was all over the news. He got in a lot of trouble, and he had a gang of maybe like 30 protesters there, and on something completely different.
Right. You imagine if you walk outside your house, there's people yelling about giving Listerine shit.
Yeah,
what the fuck you all talking about?
So
my dog's got black lips.
I did get in trouble from MySpace because I made a video for the website. Because when I put that flyer out, I was like, I want more protests. I want this to be the biggest thing ever. So I made a video where I just took a Listerine strip and I put a snail on top of it and filmed the whole thing and sped it up. Because fun fact, if you guys have a snail sitting around, Listerine strips make them start foaming up and they start melting into a blob. Like whatever.
Really?
It's the grossest thing ever.
How the hell did you figure that out?
I didn't know that was going to happen. I thought it was just going to be, because I knew like if you threw salt, like we used to always put salt on snails and worms and shit, it would freak out. Yeah. So I was like, it has to do something. So I just filmed it and it just started foaming up and melting.
And MySpace got on you.
Oh, MySpace got so pissed. Like, you can't show that's, you know, that's whatever, torture or something. But
it's escargot, motherfucker.
I know, it's a snail. I could have stepped on it. But that really, like, it set the PETA off like crazy. That snail video, like, they used to pass that around and stuff like
really?
That.
Really? They're passing it around and sharing it?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, MyBookie.com. It's a new season. AB's on the Raiders, LB's with the Jets, ODB's in Cleveland, and the AFC North champs, the Baltimore Ravens, are still right there too, everybody. And the one thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicap and super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000. That's a lot of money. And it only costs $100 to enter. All you have to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys and girls out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus, double your first deposit. Use promo code HONEYDEW to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code HONEYDEW when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid. Visit MyBookie online today and use promo code HONEYDEW to claim your bonus today. Now back to the show.
I used to do a lot of trolls, though. Like, I have another website called letsfindjesus.com. I think that's still up, where it just trolled, like, religious people and stuff like that. But I would, like sell things on it, like a painting of a black Jesus stealing a baby and stuff like that. And, like, because they hate, they hated black Jesus, like, you know, especially 10 years ago, 13 years ago, whenever I made
they
the
still
they still, they hate, still black hate Jesus, black but Jesus. I really pushed the black Jesus shit on people, and I think I used to sell like barbershop hair, like
from Jerusalem.
I forget what it was, and then I made a bunch of
from one of Jesus's haircuts. Those people got everything they deserved to get.
It was like,
you believe that's Jesus' hair from a Nazareth haircut.
Yeah, and it was so funny because I did have animal control call me up on the blue torture thing. Like somehow they got my number, or they came to my house and they left a note because they found out who I was and where I lived somehow, and they left a note on my door, and then they said, please call us as soon as you can. And I don't know if it was about blue torture or not. It was about another troll I did. And I called and I filmed the phone call. Well, and I think it's online somewhere still, but it's the guy goes, well, we got a report here that you blah, blah, are doing something. And then I'm like, oh, that's just a troll. I'm just trolling somebody. He goes, trolling? Like, this is before trolling was, I guess, you know, more common. He goes, you know what that means, right? And I'm like, well, playing a joke. And he goes, that's not what it means, man. It means chasing guys. And I'm like,
I've never heard that. Me either.
I think that's the original, you know.
Guess who was trolling?
Yeah,
that dude.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what that means.
Oh, yeah. He seemed like
fuck, you know. Yeah. I've never heard that. If anything, it would sound to me like a dude chasing after ladies.
Yeah.
But not. Or I guess you could be trolling.
He said it was trolling for guys.
I guess that's.
I would love to know if that. I don't think I ever looked.
I've
it
never
up.
Heard that.
Yeah, I never looked it up either. That's. But he said the recording was so funny. He goes, well, I guess that's a pretty funny joke, and so we're just going. I'll let
and
you.
He
be.
Liked it.
Yeah,
he's animal control.
He's like, but if I ever need to come over and check on the welfare of your cat, everything's. And I'm like, yeah, come anytime. He goes, all right, then. I'm just going to write this off as a joke. The video is hilarious. I'll try to find it and post it again somewhere, but it's pretty funny.
What, now, were you doing that sort of stuff to your bullies back in the day?
Like, yeah, so,
trolling
so
back then
we,
was what?
Our nerd squad would we would do a lot, like our, but it was all like, we didn't have computers. So it was, they're trolling. We'd be like, would find a tack and put it on the seat of the one of the kids, and they would sit on it and be like, ah, you know, shit like that. One time, this is, all right, so I don't know if they still do this anymore, but we used to, in middle school, dissect cow eyeballs. Like, we all have an eyeball.
Well, and did we did frogs.
Frogs,
and
hearts,
worms. We did a heart.
Heart
wasn't until high school, I think. But we might have done an eyeball for something.
Yeah, cow eyes is what we used to do. And I remember one of our bullies, his locker was right next to mine. So I knew his combo. And so one time I was like, I'm going to put both of these eyeballs. Like, I stole two cow eyeballs and put it in his locker. And I put it, so like right when you open it up, it looks like it's looking at you. I didn't know he had chicken pox. I didn't know he had chicken pox. So he was out of school for a week. One day at school, we got there and they were like, everybody, we need to meet outside. The fire department's here. There's a smell. Like, they thought there was a dead body or something like that. They're going through everybody's lockers. They go through the locker. They find, I can't even imagine what they looked or smelled like.
A week later.
It was like, I think I did it like on a Thursday, and then Friday he wasn't there. And this was like Monday or something. They got in and it smelled like death in there. And they finally found that the kid got suspended because they thought he did it like that.
Yes.
I think he got suspended or he got detention or something like that. I can't remember.
But it went on him.
But what was great is that we didn't, like, all of us were sitting outside for maybe like a couple hours. I remember we didn't have school for a half
time.
Day. So it was pretty cool for that.
I've been fun. saw what you did.
Yeah.
We all saw it.
Yeah, and then we would do like shit like that.
Did it ever escalate into fights? Did you get in a lot of fights?
No, I've only been in two fights my whole life, and it was with my bully, one of my bullies. The first one, I beat the shit out of him. And
you did?
Yeah, and it was one of those things where I'm on top of him, just fucking pound, ground and pound,
every
you know, and he
fucking,
would be crying, and he's just like, please stop. Then I would,
Christmas story.
Yeah, and then I get up, though, and then he starts coming after me again. I'm like, dude, I got off, you know. And then I knocked him down again and started, and then he was just a mess. And then he, a year later.
Did it end?
The second time, yeah.
It took another
For a year, he left me alone. And then when I was a freshman in high school, we were going down the hallway, and he like kicked the back of my foot or something like that. And he goes, meet me outside at lunch or something like that. And I'm like, oh God, he's probably been training, you know. He's probably been doing like hula hoops in his backyard or something like that, whatever we used to train. And I beat the shit out of him a second time. And I remember that second time, he left me alone forever because that second time was like, you didn't learn the first time.
Yeah.
Haven't been in a fight since. Like,
So two fights, the same person.
Same person.
Two fights you've ever had.
Yeah.
Good for you. You beat your bully.
Yeah. I'm really good at not getting out of fights or getting out. I never get to that point of fighting. Like, I've had people try to fight me a few times.
What do you do? Just use your humor?
No, I just go, dude, get away from me. I'm not going to fight. You know, like,
I'm in my 40s. Bro.
Yeah. No, yeah. One guy, like, maybe 3 years ago, did, he was like fucking with my girl, and I told him, get the fuck away from me, dude. You know, leave my girl alone and blah, blah, blah at the comedy store. And then out of nowhere, when I'm walking to the bathroom,
that's a wrong move.
He runs around me, punches me square in the face.
At the store?
At the comedy store.
Did anybody see this?
Oh, yeah. And I was just like, did you just punch me? Like, and then I just like grabbed him, threw him against the wall, and then it was broken up. But he's, that dude's banned now. But that's the last, that's the only other time I've ever. I got punched, but I didn't.
God damn, that's a wrong. I mean, between Rogan, Callen, Diaz, and Simone with all their jujitsu and UFC shit, they would have killed them.
Oh yeah, it was broken up pretty quick. But the guy, like, I mean, obviously, I could have probably beat him up because, like, he punched me. I didn't even feel like it was like, what did you? Like, I didn't even know what happened. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I thought maybe like a football, somebody threw a football or something, and then like hit me in the face.
So growing up, I asked you about acting out and stuff and sort of how it played out. And you said you did get caught shoplifting.
I did.
But were you doing it for a while before you got caught?
Yeah, no. when Nintendo came out, you know, I had no money. I was pretty broke. This is probably when I was like, I'd say 14, 15. Stores didn't have cameras and shit like that. They usually had one security guard. There was a place called Service Merchandise. It's out of business now. And they had video games. And back then, video games, they didn't know what they were. So they would just put them on the shelf. Now they're behind like glass cases, like a Gillette sensor blade or something. But so we would just take like four of them, put them down our pants, and then every day. And we couldn't bring them home, though, because our parents...
Now, was that the square, gray one?
Square. And we would just put the boxes, like we'd wear baggy clothes, put it in our waistband. But we couldn't bring them home because our parents would be like, where are you getting all these video games? So we had to slowly dilute the games. So what we do is outside of the place, this is the dumbest thing ever, because we didn't like go down the street or anything. They had a tree and like mulch and stuff like that. And we dug a hole and we put all the games in there. And And then one by one, we'd like take one home. And we had like the shoot. At one point, I think we had like 20 games
in a hole
outside of the store we stole it at. We didn't go down the street or anything, like dumbasses. And then CDs came out. And then we were like, my dad bought me a CD player for my birthday. And he only bought me one CD. And I was like, I want more. But they were like, you know, we had no money.
Back then.
So I was like, thanks, Dad. I can't afford CDs. You're going to give me one CD, you know? So then we started stealing CDs. And I remember it was
easy before they got that long.
Yeah.
Remember that long plastic thing?
That long plastic thing. This is before that. This is when they just, again, well, we'll just put them on the shelf. We know, like, I remember that I had Ghostbusters 2, Paula Abdul, and something else. It was three CDs. I just remember being like, I got in trouble with the gayest CDs ever. You know, like who?
Call Me Bad. Was that one?
It was something worse. It was something like Paula Abdul, maybe
Millie Vanilli.
Maybe it was Millie Vanilli or something like that. But I remember when we were walking out, I just remember just that me and my friend. Like a hand on my shoulder. And then like me and my friend got put in this, like it was at Myers. And they took us into a room and then his parents came first. And his dad was really scary, like this big, tall Italian guy. And I remember him just looking at us like that. And that freaked me out. I never shoplifted again after that because it was like the only time I ever got in trouble with outside of school where I was like, holy shit, this is real. Like I thought I was going to jail, even though I was like only 14 or so.
Right.
So after that, never stole again, never shoplifted again. And it's weird. That really stuck with me to the point where like if I'm at a store, like I remember Joey Diaz. Used to like we'd be at an airport and he would just like take you know like the stores that where you get the neck pillows and he'd be like oh gummy bears and he's just like he's just stealing shit
and
I think he does it because like if you just act like you're just hanging out like no one's like if you act sketchy somebody's going what's going wrong with that guy but if you're just like big guy just like whatever and I remember just like having panic attacks being with him like you just stole gummy bears like you know like
you just grab them and go
yeah. So I'm glad it happened at a young. There's like a lot of things like I'm glad it happened
you
at a young age.
You seem like you just fucked around. You didn't really.
Yeah.
But have you ever been arrested?
Yeah. I was later in life. I think I was like 28.
What happened?
I did.
You're still in Ohio then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a manager of a movie theater. And one of my employees, I think she was an employee. Maybe not. I used to date this girl. And we dated for maybe 2 years and she was like from a different school district at but this is older, this wasn't in high school, but she, you know, we didn't grow up anywhere near us each other, and she was the like the school slut, I guess, you know, like there was that one girl that just fucked everybody, but she had huge tits, and I didn't know that. All I knew that she had nice tits, and so we dated, but she was an alcoholic. Like her mom was an alcoholic, her sister, the whole house, they just got drunk. Like it was one of those where the mom invites all the kids over to drink, right, you know, yeah, type person.
The,
yeah.
The cool parent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that motherfucking cool parent.
Yeah.
You got to worry about.
But I didn't know that is, she was always, this girl was always a troubled person. And when I dated her, we broke up. It was one of those where you break up every 2 months and then get back together, break up 2 months. And then it just got too crazy. So I ended it. I'm like, you know, we're done. And then for maybe like 6 months, she was freaking out. Like she was trying to get me back. She would like show up at my work.
I was going to say, were you still working together at that point?
No, at that point.
So she'd show up.
Yeah, she would just show up. I think I got a different job because of her. I think I ended up moving or just quitting my job and going somewhere else just because it was getting a little psychotic. And then I don't know why I did this. It was my sister's birthday. It was near, I think it was Martin Luther King weekend or like the holiday weekend. And my sister was having a party and I hadn't talked to this girl in a while. I had been single this whole time. And I was like, you know what? I wonder if whatever happened to my ex, I wonder if she's okay.
How long at the time?
I would probably say I hadn't talked to her in maybe like 3 months or okay. 2 months or something like that. And I was like, and I remember I called her. I was like, hey, you know, it's Brian. Just, you know, checking in, seeing how you're doing. And then we ended up talking for like a half hour and everything. And then she's like, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, I'm going to go to a bar and my sister's birthday. She's having people at this bar. She's like, oh, I want to stop by and say hi. And I'm like, all right, fine. You know, so she actually drove. What was it? Oh, she drove to there. And we met at the bar. Everything was fine. She got crazy wasted. And then when it time to go home, she's like, I'm too drunk to drive. Can I crash at your house? And I'm just like, well, maybe I could play with those tits one last time, you know? So we get to, you know, I get to my house and she started drinking more at my house. And then I got blackout. I want you back. Like crazy shit. She
super emotional.
Yeah. And then I was like, you got to get out of my house. Like she started like really yelling and stuff like that. Then she started breaking. Like she's like, I bought you this. I forget what it was. It was a poster or something like that, but it was like in a glass frame. And she tore it off my wall and threw it at me and broke it. And then now I was like, that's it. Get the fuck out of my house. You're destroying my house. And then she wouldn't get out of my house. And then I remember I had to like push her out the front door. Like I opened my door, I was like, get the fuck out of my house, shut the door. I went upstairs. I didn't even think like, oh, she doesn't have her car here. I was like, I don't care, you find a way home.
Yeah.
Cause she had not only broken that, she like kicked my refrigerator, made a dent in my refrigerator. Like she started just tearing up my house. I went to bed and I passed out. Next morning I wake up and I remember I was hungover. My answering machine was like flashing, and I remember I press play, and it's her crying and like you know answer the door, pick up, blah blah blah. And I guess she must have been ringing my doorbell. I was passed out, and then my knock on my front door, and I open it up. It's two cops, and they're like Brian, and I'm like yeah. He goes, damn, we wish you wouldn't have answered the door. Sorry, man, we're gonna have to arrest you for domestic violence,
what
assault, and unlawful restraint because I didn't drive
you
her home.
Her outside.
Drive her home. So that's almost like a form of kidnapping. Like, hey, you
said she could come here and
you didn't take her home.
Why does somebody have to be responsible for getting somebody else home if they want to?
I don't know. And they they cuffed me and they were like, and I was trying to tell him like, look, she tore up the place. And he goes, sorry, man. We believe you. He's like, she ended up walking down the street drunk last night and a woman cop pulled her over. And she said that you guys got in a fight and you pushed her out the door and blah, blah, blah. And since the O.J. Simpson trial and all that stuff, we have a new law. It's called, they nickname it the O.J. law,
uh-huh.
where that it's pretty much if a woman says you pushed her, we have to arrest you and figure it out later. And they nicknamed it the O.J. Simpson law. And because for domestic violence and stuff. So like if a woman just goes through a phone book,
I mean, they know OJ did more than just ask somebody to leave a door.
but I think
OJ wasn't like, I just want you to get the fuck out.
But I think
here.
There was problems beforehand, you know, shit like that. So now like he was telling me, he's like, you could just pick a woman could pick a random name in a phone book and say they hit her and we have to arrest.
And they'll
no
go
questions.
Arrest yeah. and then figure it out later.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes both ways, by the way, if a guy says a girl hit nowadays. So I remember, I went to jail and it was like, I think it's Thursday morning and, like it was overcrowded or something like that. And I couldn't get in a court, see a judge Friday. So I had to stay there the whole week. And so I was there from Thursday and then Monday was like Martin Luther King Day and I didn't get out till Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I mean, the only thing I've ever done was caught shoplifting. So I am. It was overcrowded. It was just.
Was it scary?
It was scary as fuck.
Why?
Because it was mostly. Well, it was like a room this size. It was very small. There was only three beds, and there was probably maybe 100 people. And,
Damn.
And it was all like drunk drivers, domestic violence. There was a few like gang member type people there, and there was nowhere to lay. So I remember I stole a toilet paper roll and used it as a pillow, and I hid it at night behind the trash can, and that would be my pillow. That's how bad it was. And I finally get out. My mom bailed me out.
You had no problems in there, no fights.
No fights. It was actually pretty chill, and everyone was in the same situation kind of shit. They did have one TV, so we just watched Oprah all day or whatever it was.
Oprah, really?
Yeah, it was something like that.
So full of dudes watching Oprah.
It was something stupid. It was like Oprah on repeat or something. And then I ended up having to go to court and get a lawyer. And then we had to like do all this shit. I had to go to like a psychiatrist. This is a fucked up thing. Like they make you go to a psychiatrist, you know, like to prove that you're not like a crazy person, mm-hmm. you know. I get there and I'm talking to a psychiatrist, and then at the end he goes, well, I'm going to have to end this right now, and we're going to have to switch you with somebody else in my office because I actually graduated with your ex and I just realized it. And so my partner's going to take over. So then this other guy comes in and finishes the interview stuff. And then in court, they were like, yes, he's very crazy. You can't be controlled because he knew her in high school. And so he wrote it as if I was a bad person because he knew me. So I had to then spend money again, go to two other psychiatrists, two different ones to show that, hey, that's not fair. He went to high school. He wrote it bad on purpose. And then both of these two other psychiatrists are like, no, he's fine. Everything's cool. He's a normal guy. Then there was, I think I went to court maybe 11 or 12 times. She didn't.
11 or 12 times?
She didn't even pick up the charges. Like, she didn't want anything to do with it. The state picked it up. The prosecutor.
I learned that.
Yes.
That even if, because a lot of times women are scared and they don't want them to retaliate.
Exactly.
So they'll say, you can drop the charges, but we're going to carry it forward.
Exactly. Anyways, after like 11 or 12 times, it came out that there was nothing done. You know, she destroyed my house. I have pictures of all that. She actually, when I was pushing her out, she actually hit me with the face. And I had like a bruise. She had no bruises, and I had actual bruise. Like in my mugshot, you could actually see a bruise on my eye. She had zero bruises because I only like did that, and ended up they dropped all the charges. And then the day they dropped charges, I remember going home and going, "What the fuck? I just spent like $20,000, you know, that I don't have to pay back my mom." And then she calls me. She goes, Brian, I'm so sorry that all that happened.
How long did all that take?
I'd say like seven months, something like that.
And then haven't talked at all.
I saw her in court. She wasn't allowed to talk to me. And then when they dropped all the charges, she called me and she wanted to hang out that night. And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't ever fucking talk to me again. We are dead together. She ended up dating a military guy and moved to overseas somewhere. So she's now like... not even the United States anymore. She's gone for good. And that really changed. That whole thing changed my life, though, when it came to women. I was scared of them. Like, I was like, I didn't know that was possible, you know, to get that much deep, go to jail. So, like, I'd be one of those guys that, you know, if I was in a relationship, the second a girl starts yelling at me, I would secretly just turn on my voice memos on my phone, put it on the table. I would do all these little things. Like I had security cameras now. Like I will have like a security camera that I would like tilt towards the living room, you know, if something goes on. And it's helped me actually a lot. Like there's two other times that it could have gone bad where I was like, dude, I have you on video right here, you know, or I have you on tape, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of sad, you know, that I became that, but it's helped me out so much. And that's why, like, if you have a bad relationship, if you're in a bad relationship,
just get the fuck out.
Yeah, get the fuck out, number one, but always cover your ass because just watch Live PD or Cops. You'll see how many times, you know, it's just bad people. And if you're around a bad person, they'll turn on you and it's going to cost you $20,000. But
it happened to a friend of mine. He and his daughter's mom, they were arguing and she started punching him, hitting him. And then she called the police, and the police show up, and they put him in one room and her in another room, and they interview him first, and he's like, We were arguing. She got all pissed off at me. They said, did you cuss at her? He said, no, I didn't cuss at her at all. Did you yell at her? I didn't yell at her at all. Did you touch her? I did not touch her. She hit me. She's the one cussing and yelling and hit me, and she called you.
Yeah.
Say, interview her. Did he cuss at you? No, he didn't. Did he hit you? No, he didn't. Did he yell at? No. And they go, but you hit him? She goes, I did. And they go, well, ma'am, we have to take you to jail.
Yeah.
He did nothing wrong. You called the police. So she ended up calling the police on herself. She got, she had to have court supervised visits with her kids.
Yep.
Like, they took her right to jail because they said, like, and he was like, look, that's not necessary. He did the same thing. It's not necessary.
Right.
Like, no, you can drop the charges if you want.
Yeah.
We're taking her. And they did. And then they pressed charges against her. And he dropped everything, but the state just kept doing
it. And it really, and the female cop that picked up my ex, like, she was the one really, like, that really pushed the prosecutors, like, no, you should have saw her. She was crying. She was on the road, stranded by herself. He pushed her out the door. It was just such a perfect storm of bad stuff. But I'm so lucky now, though, because I'm dating somebody.
Wait, when she called you, there's nothing you could do with that information that could get you your money back or any of the fucking
shit?
Yeah,
you know, I looking back, it seems like, I should have done something. Like, the fact that she called me.
Yeah, and then wanted to hang out.
Yeah, but you know what? I think she, the whole time, was against it also.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like, she constantly
so
was telling
was
them.
The state was doing this.
Yes.
Gotcha. I got it.
But, it would have been nice to have, like, phone records and try to countersue or something like that. That took me years to pay that back, especially because I was making like $10 an hour and something like that. But you know, it sucked. But I'm so lucky now, though, because the girl I'm dating now, like, we've been dating for 3 years and we haven't had any kind of fight that even resembles a normal fight. Like, she says, oh no, we fight once in a while, and I'm like, but it's so adorable. She's like, remember when you left the macaroni cheese out? And I was like, Brian, stop. And I'm like, that's not a fight.
I'll take that shit all day.
Yeah, so now I'm like living in paradise, man. It's like the first time in a long time where I'm not paranoid or scared that something bad's going to happen or anything.
I want to go back to something that you had mentioned off mic before we started talking about maybe it was being babysat.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to me about, like, how old are you and what happens? Who's watching you?
So, after my parents were – wait, was this when my parents were divorced? I think so. Maybe I was. Maybe it was like third grade, right before they were. I don't know, but if you played doctor with all the kids in your neighborhood, like me and my friend had three of the hottest girls in our school living on our street. Like, they ended up being like the prom queen, the head cheerleader, we were just lucky that we grew up on the same street as them. But when we were younger, we would invite them all to my friend. He had a ping pong table, and would go underneath the ping pong table, and we'd play doctor.
And you were what, like 9 or 10?
I would say okay. I would say something like that. And we ended up doing this like a lot, though, like maybe once a month. So one of them had a sister, an older sister that was super hot, and she was in my babysitter. And for some reason, I thought, because they were related, like, oh, this girl wants it too. And I remember she was my baby. Like, she'd be, I think she was like 16, hot blonde chick. And I remember one thing I always said, like, can we make a fort? And she'd be like laying on the couch with her legs kind of like bent up and with a blanket over her. And I would put my head on her crotch like a pillow. And I would just sit there and just start like pushing back, you know, a little on her crotch. And then I remember she would like take my head and just start humping the back of my head.
What the fuck was like, going on in your neighborhood, dude? Good God.
And like, I didn't know, like, she was probably just straight up masturbating, you know, but she would like just hump the shit out of me. And I remember I got, even like one time I went up and touched her boob, but it was on the outside. And she would just like do that all the time. And now she's like, she's married with kids and stuff. Like, and I remember, like, I've said this a few times on stage before, and this is 100% true. I was so wasted once when Facebook first came out, and I found her.
No.
And I was like, I want to know what she looks like. You know, I want to know what she looks like. I want to know, you know, if she's still hot as fuck. And I just, in my head, I just had this memory. And I just remember being blackout wasted, and I found her. And she was married with kids. And I remember I just wrote, I hope you babysit your kids as good as you babysat me.
Oh, my God, dude. You are the ever troll. Did she respond?
No, but she liked it.
Liked it? Like, I got my youngest in a neck brace right now. He's grinding on the back of his head.
Oh, stinky neck.
Good God.
But it did one of those things.
All that fast food drove you all nuts. All that test food.
But, man, that feeling, though, that when I woke up the next day and I'm like, what did I do last night? I'm like, oh, my God, no. Wait, I'm the babysitter. No, wait, I wrote something. Oh, my God, no. And I remember, like, going, like, logging on. And I was, like, scared, like, oh, she just liked it. Wait, that's fucked up.
You know? That is fucked up.
But I was so scared, like she was going to write me a letter. So she never said anything.
How's your relationship? Are your mom and dad still alive?
Mm-hmm.
How are your relationship with them?
Great.
Now?
Everything's great.
Both?
Yeah. My dad, he's an engineer. He's tried to retire. Like, he's one of those guys that he's tried to retire for the last 10 years.
Is he in Ohio?
Yeah. And he's just such a smart guy that they keep on going, please, you know, we don't have anyone like you. Our whole company will go under. So now they let him, like, just work from home. He doesn't even have to do anything, you know. And he's getting paid, like, retarded amounts of money. My mom retired a long time ago.
What'd she do?
She just worked at Winnie's and like, executive secretary type stuff. Then she ended up retiring and marrying a guy that owned an architect firm. And he owned one of the biggest architect firms in Ohio. They built churches and most of the schools and stuff like that.
Wow.
I used to work for him when I was in college.
You like him?
Yeah.
You get along.
Very straight edge, farmer type guy. And I remember in college, when they met, he's like, you could work for me at the architect. And I was like, okay. And so I'd like go on acid and go to work.
Would
like,
you really?
Yeah, because they just left me alone because I was the boss's, you know.
What's that like to be on acid?
Oh, it was the worst, dude. If you've ever been in an architect firm, it is just this silence that it's just creepy. And this was mostly before a lot of people used computers. It was a lot of just people doing it by hand, like drafting by hand. I would have to take these big blueprints and get them printed at this company. But it was so quiet and peaceful that like you would just sit there and you couldn't even stay awake. Like it was just so what I would do is I would always I would try things like acid and I used to use acid a lot. Like in college, I would like go to work all the time on acid. Like when I worked at Ticketmaster, I remember I used to always have to go like, thanks for calling Ticketmaster, where American Express is the preferred method of payment. This call may be monitored for quality purposes by supervisor. This is Brian speaking. But I used to have to do that like over and over, like
just
every 10 seconds, 30 seconds. And I remember when I was acid, I couldn't remember it. So I'd be like, hey, this is Brian, Ticketmaster. Don't do anything. Hi.
What have your parents come to see you do comedy?
No, my dad has. When I used to open up for Rogan all the time, there was a theater that's a humongous theater in Columbus, Ohio, like where you would go see the Nutcracker and shit like that. And so when I opened up for him there, I was like, this is pretty cool, Dad. You might want to don't judge me, you know, like my mom, I would never let. She's a very good girl, religious. Like if she would faint if
I know you're, you know. I've seen a set, so
she would faint if I
she would
yeah
she doesn't watch any of the podcasts.
No, I don't. Yeah, like no, luckily one of the biggest best things I did is early on I started going by the name Red Band instead of my last name Reichel. And so, like, she doesn't even know about the Red Band part. So she's probably like, oh, I wonder what Brian's doing. Oh, look at that. I have fake Facebook pages and stuff with my real name. And, like, it's just, like, a picture of me in a waterfall. And every couple months, like, I'll post a picture of a frog and be like, I love frogs, you know, and, like stupid shit like that.
And
she's like, oh, he's such a good guy. He's out there looking at frogs. they don't. I think my dad just recently got it
at all.
They're cool. That's like cool. You know, my sister has nephews now, and so they share. They all see each other.
Well, you have nephews.
Well, I have nephews. She has kids. That's all I need. Nephews is good enough for me.
Do you want kids?
You know, at a point, I did. When you live in LA, you have to get to a certain point. I can't have kids now. Like, you know, I've lived in the same place for 13 years. If I have a kid, the kid's going to find the cocaine I lost, you know, 6 years ago.
Nummies! Feel good on TV.
I think, you know, if I was a little better off, like if I had a house and something, lived somewhere nice, maybe. But having a kid in Los Angeles is already crazy, in my opinion. And two, that you have to, I think you have to be in a certain level of comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm bad with money. You know, I'll buy things blackout drunk in the middle of the night and be like, oh, I got a Tesla last night.
Well, you're the reason I know the Tesla does that whole fucking light show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Does yours have it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I read somewhere that they're, like, that's sort of an Easter egg.
Yeah, he has
But they're
Easter
not
eggs.
In all of them, though, all right?
No, they are. Oh, no. Only the one with the Falcon doors.
Okay, that's the one that does it.
Because that's the only one that does it. But, yeah. He releases Easter eggs all the time. It's sort of like little secret things you can do. You know?
But since it's computer, you can go get that Easter egg and then make your car do that, or it's just
it's
in
there.
Factory.
You could find it. Yeah, no it's shit. Like it's like little hidden secrets. Yeah, it's pretty cool. He does so many cool things. Like he just added like 10 Atari. You could play Atari on it now. Like
for real?
Yeah, you could surf the internet. It's one of the coolest things ever.
Do you
but
like
that
it?
Was yeah. I'm glad I love it.
It's different driving it though, from what I hear. Right?
It's like not, Tron. It's,
you have to learn how to drive it.
No. It's so fast and so crazy that it's so like different than a regular car because there's no gears and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just on off. You know, like and so like when you're like in traffic, you can go around cars like zoom up. Past them, go over, like it's kind of like you're playing Tron, you know. It makes cars seem dumb. Like I have a Civic also, and when I am in my Civic, I'm like, oh my god, this is like having a cell phone and then going back to a beeper, you know. Right, like yeah. it kind of okay. ruins cars for you because it's so crazy fast and good that it's when you go into a car it seems antique, like a caveman, you know, shit. Like,
well, you're doing great, dude.
Yeah, but you like, are. But that's how irresponsible. Like, if I can't have a kid and being like, you know, coming home drunk, buying a Tesla in the middle of the night. And
dude, the people I know that don't have kids have shit like boats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
They're out,
that's true.
That, you know, they're spending on that kind
yeah.
of stuff. Yeah, you know?
But it's crazy. Like, I was saving up money for a while because I was thinking of buying a house, you know, so I've been saving up for a while. And then recently I was like, no, it's silly to buy a house in L.A. You know, I'd rather buy a house in Ohio
yeah.
you know, or something like that. So that's why I bought a Tesla. I was like, I saved up all this money. Now I'm not going to use it. I'll buy a Tesla, you know.
Right.
But that's so irresponsible, you know. Like, and I've always been like that, like really bad with money my whole life. Because they didn't teach I'm sure they teach credit cards and shit. Dude, in high school
I
now.
Hope they do. Because I remember being in seventh grade, we had a math teacher teach us how to write checks. But that's all they taught you, how to write it and how to balance your checks.
Oh, yeah,
they never
checks.
Taught you the responsibility, the money, yeah. And I didn't get my first credit card till I was in college, and that's when most people get them, because you fucking need it.
Right.
But they don't teach you about interest and how to pay it back and
no.
all that shit.
And it was crazy, because I was a little older, because I got held back. So when I was in high school, I got a credit card, and I remember I got approved.
Did you?
Yeah, I got approved for, it was $1,000, maybe? And no, I think it was $1,000. And all, like, I was like, wait, so I could buy anything and pay it back later? That's awesome. But I had no idea how to use a credit card. No, I remember I went to Sears and I saw a Laserdisc player. And I'm like, what? Laserdisc player? $900. I can buy that. Maxed my credit card on one purchase, bought a Laserdisc player. And the only reason it was $900 is because it was on clearance, because they stopped making Laserdisc. Like, literally. Like we didn't have internet or news back then, so I had no idea Laserdiscs were bombed.
We didn't have news.
So like, well, they didn't talk about Laserdisc players on the news. And so like, literally the day I bought it, maxed out my credit card, then Laserdisc went under. And then I still have it. It's brand new, dude. It's like mint.
You still have it?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. And like, I remember one of my best things is Roger Rabbit. I got Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And in the Laserdisc editions, the only thing that has when Jessica Rabbit falls out of a car, there's like a brief couple seconds you could see her crotch. And they cut it out of all the versions except the Laserdisc version. So that's the only reason.
Because no
I
one was
that.
Seeing it. That's you have reason. The copy.
The only reason, yeah. Only reason I kept my Laserdisc player so one day I could put it, go, oh, I can see your crotch. No one else can. So stupid. I could just look at a photo on the internet, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably out there.
Yeah,
right?
It's probably out there now.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you opening up about your past.
Definitely.
Will you please, one more time, promote whatever you'd like?
DeathSquad.tv. That has everything. Tour dates. San Diego, August 17th with George Perez and Aiko Tanaka. Oh, every first and third Friday, I do the Ice House. We do a show with like nine comics. It's like, it's just nine comics from a lot of people know them from like Kill Tony or all the Death Squad podcasts and stuff. It's always fun. So check it out, DeathSquad.tv.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you coming on. As always, I'm Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.